When you have health insurance, it's easy to forget about your out-of-pocket costs. That can be a lot of money. But are your bills accurate? Well, it's estimated that over 50% of medical bills contain errors. HealthLock can help you. HealthLock technology securely connects with your insurance and flags any overbilling, wrong codes, and fraud. You can even have HealthLock work on your behalf to get money back from select past bills. To date, HealthLock has helped its members save over $130 million. So to save, visit HealthLock.com today. That's HealthLock.com today.
Hi, I'm Michael Rappaport.
And I'm Kibi Rappaport.
And together we're hosting Rappaport's Reality Podcast.
We have a passion for reality TV, and we're inviting you into our living room.
We're dissecting the drama, and we're giving praise to the single greatest form of entertainment on television today. That is right. Reality TV is the greatest form of entertainment on television today.
Listen to Rappaport's Reality with me, Kibi Rappaport.
And me, Michael Rappaport, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcast.
I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty. We're the Armstrong and Getty Show.
We cover the stories the mainstream media ignores.
Stories that are important to your life and important to the world.
The election, of course.
The many trials of Donald Trump.
Couple of wars.
Gender-bending madness.
Why are kids looking at so much social media?
And we bring you the stories the mainstream media is on.
But we do it without the left-wing media spin.
Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on America's number one podcast network, iHeart.
Open your free iHeart app and search the Armstrong and Getty Show to start listening.
Welcome to today's edition of the Clay Travis and Buck Sexton Show podcast.
Hour three, Clay and Buck here right now. Thanks for joining. The communists are coming. The communists are coming. They're swarming all over campuses. More of them, actually, just in the last hour. Harvard, which you always know if somebody went to Harvard, and a lot more than that, when they tell you that they went to college in Boston. Like, well, there's dozens of colleges in Boston. Which one, you know, if you went to BU or Emerson or you say that's where you went to school. But if you went to Harvard, you have to make people ask the question. You have to act like you don't want to tell people. Like, where did you go to school? Oh, a little university in Cambridge, you know, not next to the Charles River. Yeah. Anyway, Harvard's campus is now the site of another one of these protests, another one of these Palestinian pro-Hamas occupy. They got the photos here. They got the tents out.
Oh yeah, video like of the storming is out there.
Yeah, it's like an ad for an outdoor camping store or something. They got tents everywhere, probably some little cook stove, stuff like that. They're ready to go, and as we've said, it is lovely in the Harvard quad this time of year. So it's not that much of a hardship. You know, you get to live stream your fight against the man. Yeah. You know, smoke a little weed, call the cops pigs. I mean, a lot of this stuff going on there. But then we get a little sad because we go over to Texas, a state we all love. We love our Texans. Great state, beautiful people. We go down to Texas and University of Texas at Austin. Clay, they've got one underway right now as well, yeah? So we've got more of these protests breaking out. I think you're going to see a whole lot more of them. It's an election year. These kids are all subject to this contagion. Their professors have been filling their brains with nonsense for years. But there is a professor I wanted you to hear from, actually. This is really interesting. Professor John McWhorter, who I believe is a Columbia University professor, but also makes the rounds on the podcast circuit, writes for The Atlantic. And he is an intellectual. He's a Black American author who questions the DEI narrative and wokeness and all this stuff. And so he is brilliant, but not as celebrated by the left as he would be if, say, he was like the serial plagiarist president of Harvard or something, right? Because, you know, he's breaking with the narrative. But here he is saying something that is going to get some people's attention. He is making the claim that this is what Jewish students on campus are being subjected to, provably, demonstrably subjected to right now, Clay, is worse than anything Black students have faced on college campuses in America in 50 years. Play this clip.
A generation of Jewish students are going to be imprinted by the fact that they feel persecuted, and they can point to episodes of stark resistance, physical violence, near physical violence, naked slurs hollered at them by people in real time. All of that on campuses is becoming regular. And there's a whole contingent of supposedly educated people telling them to shut up. Whereas, let's face it, racism on college campuses exists, but frankly, I can confidently say essentially no black student for 50 years has encountered anything that stark. You have to work to find the quote unquote microaggressions, etc. And yet, anytime a black person claims, student claims racism, then we have to pretend that college campuses are hotbeds of bigotry. That's not fair. And Jewish students are watching this and they're disgusted. And I would have to say, that's explicable. I understand their disgust.
Well said.
I think it's really well said. And again, this is a really important time, I think, to contemplate what standards for speech are acceptable and unacceptable. And one reason why, basically since the civil rights era, you would not have had overt racism against black students on campus is because of the societal pressure. We've talked about on this show before. If you were a kid and you were caught on video using a racial slur on any college campus in America, a white kid, if you're a black kid and you rap along to a song, nobody does anything. But if you're a white kid, even potentially if you're rapping along to some popular song today, you could be expelled. You could lose your job. Your basic entire future could vanish overnight because of one word that you uttered on a video. There are major societal consequences for saying anything that could even be perceived as racist. I'm not talking about hurling racial slurs at someone, Buck. I'm talking about rapping along to a Kanye West song or some other song that is popular at this point in time. That's how protective the speech is when it comes to black students, gay students, trans students. You'd be kicked out immediately. Chanting death to Israel, if you chanted death to black people or death to gay people, your entire life is basically over on any of these campuses.
Oh, absolutely. And I would say, and this is, it sounds almost crazy as you say it, but then you know it's also true as it is said. If you had the choice in America today of being somebody who at 16 was caught on video saying the racial slur that, you know, you're never allowed to say under any context, even if you're like reading from a manuscript or a court record, right? Never allowed to say it under any context. By the way, I disagree with that rule.
Yes.
We abide by it because this is the abide by it because this is the rule. I disagree with that rule, meaning the intent of a word always matters. Calling someone a slur is wrong and should be punished. A word in any context being unable to be said by some people is absurd, actually. And by the way, Christopher Hitchens completely, for those of you who remember Christopher Hitchens, completely agreed with me on this. He was like, we should never have this thing of you can never say the word to the point, Clay, where people can't, in a court transcript, say it. Okay, but
let me give you an example, by the way. My last book, 2017, I quoted Muhammad Ali. No person ever called me a blank, right? We can't say lots of words, to be fair, on this radio program. Yeah, like, we can't curse, like, all sorts of things. The publisher called me. There's not very many curse words in my book, but they're all there. And they said, hey, we don't think you can use the N-word in this book because you're a white guy. And I said, well, it's a quote from Muhammad Ali. And they said, we're advising you not to use the word quoting him.
This is lunacy. This is wrong.
We're not going to block out words. Like, it's important the context in which he is speaking matters. So just in your example, this was only a few years ago. The publisher contacted me and said, you can't quote what Muhammad Ali said because you're a white guy.
But you can also even just take it into this whole other direction for a second. I remember, I think it was Professor Christakis was his name, and they made the rounds. There was this intellectual dark web for a while, they called it, of different professors on campus. And I think some of them were, you know, in earnest. I think some of that was just branding and marketing for people who were saying stuff that conservatives have been saying for as long as we've been conservatives. So in my case, like, you know, 42 years. But anyway, you know, it wasn't like, oh my gosh, these people came up with these new ideas. But some of them were saying it on campus and there was some conversion situation. So I get it. Okay. But remember, Clay, Christakis at Yale, it was over costumes for children at Halloween.
Yeah.
And the Yale student body and the Yale administration said, Yale's got these protests going on, everybody. I mean, this is the same entity. They upheld the standard that a like 6-year old dressing up as a Native American,
Cowboys, you know, and like Indians.
Pocahontas, for example, a 6-year old girl dresses as Pocahontas. She's a white girl that is triggering and makes people feel unsafe. Therefore, Yale, the university, sent out guidance, yes, to please not, don't have your kids, for professors, really this was, don't have your kids dress as anything that could be cultural appropriation for Halloween. That's how Yale responds on that issue. And then the Yale administrators and Yale professors are standing, you know, in lockstep in many cases with kids who are running around saying, death to Israel, get the Jews out of here, they're committing a genocide, they, you know, control U.S. foreign policy and push us into this and that. I mean, the stuff that they're saying is so aggressively bigoted and biased, but they're making an exception because that's what John McWhorter's saying. He's like, the rules are a joke, friends. The rules are a joke.
Think about how, in that context, for Halloween, people are angrier at a 6-year-old for dressing up cowboy and Indian than they are at a grown adult for pretending that he's a woman. Like, you're heroic if you dress up, if you're a man and you pretend to be a woman. In the mind,
you're
of the
stunning
left,
and
you're
brave,
heroic,
even though you look like a dude with long hair and too much makeup on. I mean, yes.
And if you're 6 and you dress up as cowboys and Indians or some other similar esque costume, it's unacceptable.
But just also on the rules that we all have to live by, if you were saying, is it better, and you could do this with a whole range of things, better to be caught on video saying the word that we're never allowed to say at 16, or in terms of your employment prospects, be accused of manslaughter, killing someone outside of a bar, you know, in a fight? Far better for your employment prospects to be charged with manslaughter. I think if you're convicted, maybe that's probably because that's a felony.
Here's an easy one.
Better for your reputation to be charged with manslaughter at 16 than to be said, you know, to say that word on video. That's the country we live in.
If you're a college freshman, it would be better for you to get multiple DUIs than be caught on video using a racial slur.
Well, no question. That's not
right. But think about how crazy that is. Multiple DUIs. You could have killed somebody. You got behind the wheel, not once, but twice, driving drunk. People be like, oh, you know, you shouldn't have done it, but we'll still hire you. Video using a racial slur, your life is basically over.
We have racial power dynamics that are very, very much at play in this country, just not the ones that the media pretends exist. And that's what the Jewish students on campus
are learning,
are finding out. Oh, there's race politics in America. It's just not what the media and the professoriate on campus says it is.
You have been oppressed for thousands of years if you are Jewish. Documented without question historically. You have just 6 months ago had the biggest massacre of Jews occur since the Holocaust. You can say whatever you want about a Jewish person on any campus right now with no consequences. And I think there are a lot of people out there that this has been eye-opening. I don't think you and I are stunned by it. I think we would have seen this coming.
Oh, yeah.
But I think a lot of people out there on the left who may be traditionally Jewish Democrat voters, it's been very eye-opening and enlightening for them.
Well, even during the BLM era, you would have seen leftists. Again, there are a lot of conservative Jews listening to us right now. I was at a Passover with my conservative Jewish friends and neighbors a couple nights ago. They already knew this, right? They know this reality, but there's this, you know, the 50 or 60% of Democrat voting Jews in this country, there's a contingent of them who are really hard left. And, you know, they go, they would have gone to, say, BLM protests and stood alongside some of these, you know, BLM organizers. And I just want to tell them, the BLM, some of those folks are incredibly anti-Semitic, just so you know.
They hate you.
They hate you. Yes.
Yes.
I know that. Conservative yeah. Jews know that, but some of the left-wing Jews think that, oh no, it's all, we're all the oppressed people. No. There's a hierarchy of oppression, and Jews are white as far as the rest of the left is concerned. Jews can argue that as much as they want, and some of them are, and we've said here, Israelis represent, you know, a whole range of ethnicities, skin colors, everything. But at the end of the day, the American left thinks that Jews are white and white people are oppressors, and that's how it goes.
You're the colonizer. You're the oppressor. Even when you're the victim, you are the aggressor. That is the reality of how identity politics requires you to be seen. Look, Mother's Day is coming up soon. And a lot of you out there, if you got kids like I do, you're responsible for mom. If you got your own mom, your grandma, everybody out there, what do you give someone for Mother's Day? After a few years, it gets tough. Jewelry, clothing, nice pictures. Over time, you sit around, you're like, man, it's Mother's Day again, and you also have anniversaries, and you got Christmas, and you got, how about Legacy Box? How about giving your wife, your mom, your grandma, something that they can keep forever? It is a gift that they will have for decades to come. It's a preservation of your family's memories, whether it's VHS tapes, whether it's old photos. You can rely on Legacy Box to take care of your family's memories forever. They're based right in Chattanooga, Tennessee, which coincidentally is my mom's hometown. I've spent a lot of time in Chattanooga over the years. And you can get started by going to legacybox.com/clay for the best Mother's Day sale ever. 60% off regular prices. Perfect gift for mom. Legacybox.com/clay for 60% off. That's legacybox.com/clay.
Why are people still on the fence about owning gold and silver? I just don't understand.
Have we already forgotten about regional bank closures, inflation, global instability, and the potential for serious world conflicts?
You can look to precious metals for various reasons. One, having tangible currency on hand as part of your bug out plan. Two, diversifying your portfolio as a hedge against inflation. And three, historically, gold increases in value over time.
You keep yourself informed about global events. You see the increase in conflicts around the globe. Countries are buying and hoarding massive amounts of gold. Why aren't you? It's time to pull the trigger with the Oxford Gold Group and buy gold and silver. Nobody can predict the future, but we can't put our head in the sand either.
The people with Oxford Gold Group are real pros. They make owning gold and silver simple and easy to understand. Call Oxford Gold Group right now, and you may qualify for up to $10,000 in free precious metals.
Call 833-995-GOLD. That's 833-995-GOLD. One more time, 833-995-G-O-L-D.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hey, I'm Jay Shetty, and I'm the host of the On Purpose podcast. On Purpose is dedicated to helping you be happier, healthier, and more healed. This week, I talked to Orlando Bloom in a rare interview where we went deep into how he got comfortable with fear, navigating the changes in relationships, and how to change the guilt and shame thought pattern. This conversation shows a never-seen-before side to Orlando Bloom and his unique life journey.
I think we all struggle sometimes to really deeply believe that we are enough, that we're valued, that we're valuable. You know, we're imprinted by our parents from the age of 0 to 7, right? Mm. I'm constantly trying to go like, how do I detach from my, this idea of what, is that my baggage? It doesn't look like my baggage. I mean, I know, okay, that's mine. Let's unpack that.
Listen to On Purpose with Jay Shetty on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Buck, I wanted to share this. It's up on the front page of foxnews.com, and it's up on the page of OutKick. You remember we had the discussion about Dawn Staley, the University of South Carolina women's coach, who said, oh, if you're a man but you identify as a woman, I think you should be able to play women's basketball. We had the staff at OutKick reach out to all of the schools that made the Sweet 16. We already knew what South Carolina's coach thought, but the other 15 schools. So the 16 most successful women's basketball teams in the past year. And we said, do you agree with Dawn Staley that men should be able to identify as women and play women's basketball? None of the 15 other coaches that made the Sweet 16 would even tell us their opinion on that issue. I know it sounds crazy to a lot of you out there. These are the 16 most prominent women's basketball coaches in America. Probably the 16 most prominent women's coaches in America, period. And they won't even say women's basketball should only be played by women.
Can I say that if I were one of their consiglieri, an advisor, their best option is actually silence. And it's sad, but from a career perspective, people are like, oh, but what about standing up for women and what's right? Yeah, of course, of course. But, right, you agree, any of them who say, no, women's sports should be for women, they may not have a job in a year. And it might be quiet. There may not be a big, you know, to-do about it, but there would be consequences.
I think it depends on the state. Because I think a lot of politicians could get involved. For instance, Iowa's women's coach not saying women's basketball should only be made up of women would not, I think it would actually give her greater legitimacy as coach. Let me also say this. Everybody talks about how, oh, journalists are supposed to ask the questions. OutKick is the only place in sports media that would even ask this question. All these women are doing public events all the time. They answer questions all the time for media. Nobody else will even ask them. So this is, I think, just kind of staggering of where we are. The NCAA needs to come out. Thursday, they may come out with some rulings on whether men can identify as women or not. But the amount of cowardice here is really even still kind of staggering to me. Look, a lot of you out there trying to save money because, man, it is expensive. We all know how much prices have gone up with Joe Biden as president of the United States. And there are a lot of you out there that need an opportunity to save money, and I got one for you. It's Pure Talk. Pure Talk will support the things that you believe that matter so much out there. And, oh, by the way, they'd be willing to say that women's sports should be made up of only women. And they can save you a bundle right now. $20 gets you a full month of unlimited talk, text, plenty of 5G data from Pure Talk. Same quality of service as AT&T, Verizon, or T-Mobile. You get to keep your same phone and your same phone number. And it's easy to switch. You get an additional 50% off your first month by going to your phones and dialing pound 250, saying the keywords Clay and Buck. Make the switch today. That is pound 250. Say Clay and Buck. Do it today.
Wow, we got minute by minute updates here on these campus protests going on. As we told you, up at Harvard, they now have their own pro-terrorist protests out on the quad. And we're a little sad. UT Austin, I got to say, if I were, people ask me these days, and there was actually an article about this too, Clay, trying to remember where it was, about how more and more people are eschewing the, you know, look, the oldest universities in the country, for the most part, are clustered in the northeastern United States, coastal northeast of the United States. It's where the Ivy League is, a bunch of other fancy schools. And there used to be this idea, oh, you get into one of them, your life will be easy. Let me tell you, I know a lot of losers who went to Harvard. I do. It's true. I know a lot of very unimpressive people, a lot of schmoes who go to Ivy League schools. And not just the ones who go to Cornell, because everyone makes fun of them anyway. Because they're like, we're also an Ivy school. I'm going to get so many angry Cornell emails over that one. But
well, that's
fine.
The great Andy Bernard on The Office bit,
well,
right?
That was why it was so great, is because people are always, because the other Ivy League schools are always like, yeah, I guess Cornell's Ivy League. It's a great school. I'm kidding, but
lots of people feel like they've made it when they go to an elite school,
and
then you come out and you're like, yeah, nobody really cares.
Nobody cares. No, it's true. Nobody, especially for undergrad, nobody cares. But there's this whole movement toward people looking at a lot of schools in the red states that everyone's moving to, because there are great schools where you have better weather, better campuses, better overall experience. And I know Austin is very, very blue. So please, the Texans always like, Austin doesn't count. I'm like, no, I get it. But it's still a beautiful campus. It's a great school. I've walked around the campus there a few times. But they had a protest that started like an hour or two ago, and they have, am I right, Clay? You're seeing this. Have they already deployed
shared videos.
National Guard in Austin to clear it?
They just rolled right. They were trying to take over the quad at the University of Texas, as they have just taken over the quad at Harvard, this spreading all over the Northeast in particular, also on the West Coast. And there's been some talk, my school where I went, Vanderbilt, there have been a few southern red states. They were trying to take over the quad at the University of Texas, and they just sent in the full cavalry and just wiped out the whole protest. They have arrested everybody. They have cleared the entire quad. If you've been frustrated at the response that you have seen at many of these universities, Greg Abbott and the state of Texas said, yeah, we ain't playing. And this, a lot of these schools are not going to have it happen anyway. Try this at Texas A&M. You got no hope of and the students will just roll out and be like, screw you guys. Like, we're tearing down your campus quad protest. You should be able to protest. I want to be clear. You don't have the right to put tents on the quad and take over public property for your protest. This should have never been allowed to happen anywhere. But Texas is saying this ain't happening. This is what I think Ron DeSantis would do. This is what I think Governor Kemp down in Georgia will do. This is what I believe Bill Lee in Tennessee, Kevin Stitt in Oklahoma. I could run through a lot of red state governors that are just going to say, nah, we're not playing this game. And I give credit to Texas. They may have to do it multiple times because these kids may get arrested and they may get let right back out on the streets and they may come right back. And it's important to mention, I do think this is important to the extent we haven't mentioned it, Buck. A lot of these people I don't think are even enrolled at the university. They are professional agitators who are showing up and trying to get into a tent on campus, and they're not even enrolled at the university. They're just professional protesters. Same people who got all fired up about BLM. Remember how they would pull in with trucks and suddenly there's all this material that gets distributed, all these signs. All these tents aren't suddenly showing up by accident. This is an organized attempt, probably funded by Middle Eastern interest, or China, if you want me to really kind of dive into where this is coming from. But Texas saying we're not doing this.
You know, we had mentioned the first hour that there are, I don't know if we'd call them unlikely heroes, but some unlikely heroic moments that are coming out of this whole situation too. And we had that caller last hour who said, I appreciate you guys give it to me straight. I'm aware, Clay and I are aware, that John Fetterman may be playing some 4D chess here by making him seem like he's reasonable on this. Because there's really only two. There's crazy and normal on this issue, right? There's not a lot of middle. Like, if you think anything about what Hamas did on October 7th wasn't as heinous as anything could ever be, you know, you're crazy. So there's crazy and there's normal on this issue. And Fetterman is going hard in the direction of normal on a regular basis here on this issue. Here he is just straight up chewing out some of these anti-Semitic pro-Hamas protesters. This is 17. Play it.
It's completely reasonable to want a ceasefire or to have a different view on that. Absolutely. That's a democracy. But it is not appropriate or legal, or it's helpful to advance your argument if you show up in a Starbucks with a bullhorn and start yelling at people, and that doesn't make you noble. It just makes you an asshole. I'm not suggesting that you have to agree with my view, but it's just saying it doesn't really allow you to disrupt lives and to inflict those kinds of damages on people that are just trying to get on with their lives.
Yeah. That is the critical distinction. It's essentially what you were saying in essence a moment ago, which is if people wanted to gather peaceably with their dumb placards, they do this all the time. I remember in college, the movie PCU, as in politically correct university, PCU is brilliant on this issue, although I don't think PCU is politically correct enough to be made anymore. I don't think you could get away with making that movie now, but that's a whole other thing. At the time, it was, you know, maybe a little bit on the edgy side. It's a fun watch, I will tell you, but it's just about these campus activists, whether it's the vegans, the black student group, all these different protest entities that are on campus that are upset about the feminists, obviously feminists in the 90s, a lot of fun with that one.
Yes.
All this stuff, you know, if you want to make your point, you can make your point. That's not what these people are doing. And when you go into a Starbucks and shout at people with a bullhorn, or even shout at Alec Baldwin, as much of a jerk as that guy is, you're the jerk. You are the jerk when you're doing that. And even Fetterman knows it. So golf clap for John Fetterman.
You mentioned all that, Buck, and it took me back in time. You can still look this up. Do you know what the first thing that I ever had published in my entire life was? In 1997, I was a freshman at George Washington University. Somebody can Google this and pull it up. There was a controversy on campus because a school administrator at GW, Buck, used the phrase rule of thumb. And
about the thickness of the stick that you hit a woman with? Yeah.
A left-wing feminist chick. They had a protest demanding that the campus administrator be fired because the language was demeaning, because historically rule of thumb was what you could, according to her, beat a woman with based on the width of your thumb, a rod. And I wrote at 18 years old, hey, this is, and I'm paraphrasing, this is absolutely ludicrous. Context matters. The idea that you would fire anybody over this is crazy. At 18, that was actually considered to be somewhat of a liberal opinion. Now it would be a conservative opinion. I've stayed pretty much consistent. You can go look it up. GW Hatchet, student newspaper, in that controversy, I weighed in. So, say whatever you want. Make whatever argument you want to make. Do not bring your friggin' tent and take over a university campus and think that you're going to be able to do it. And I give credit, state of Texas, Vanderbilt University, which is a private school here in Nashville. Red states seem more open to being able to solve this problem than blue states and blue cities by and large do.
So far, and I hope it continues. It's just going to be good for everything in these red states. The big three of Texas, Tennessee, Florida in terms of migration, but also in the schools. This is going to be good for the schools in those states. You know, in Florida, Ron DeSantis just came out and said, again, to clarify, if you block a road as a protest, you're getting arrested and you're going to be prosecuted. And he made the point that we've made on the show many times, which is people need to get to their jobs. People need to get to the hospital. Ambulances get caught in that stuff. Like, the idea that you could just shut down, you could steal hours of somebody's life and put them through that frustration because you're upset about climate change or Palestine or whatever. We are not a civilized place if we allow lunatics to do this stuff.
I think it would only take passing specific law and saying, hey, you have to go to prison for 6 months. No ifs, and or buts. If you block a road for a protest, regardless of what your motivation is in the United States, you're going to jail.
Oh, you know, sometimes you look at like things you get automatic sentencing for, mandatory minimums for.
Yeah.
We talked about this poor guy coming back from vacation.
Let's play. Do we have the audio of that to play when we come back to close out
Turks and Caicos? Look, I mean, you know, I know the Biden State Department is full of a bunch of you know, gosh darn communists. I know that. But maybe in their hardened communist hearts, they could remember we got an American dad and husband who's facing 12 years in prison for what is clearly an accident. He had a couple of rounds, he had a couple of rounds of ammunition on him when he was going through the airport security to come home, not even to get into the country. Not like he's going to do anything to Turks and Caicos. He's trying to get back to America. It was a mistake. Everyone knows it's a mistake. They have a mandatory system now where they'll send them to prison for 12 years?
12 years.
For 12 years?
Guys from Oklahoma City, we'll have the audio for you when we come back. So I think CBS News did a story on this. Just I almost think it's a PSA for everybody out there. You just came back from the Caribbean. He went with his wife on a vacation trip to Turks and Caicos, which I don't know the overall crime rates in Turks and Caicos. I would think that it's probably pretty safe.
It's pretty good. Really? It's not. It's some of these like Trinidad and Tobago is or Tobago.
I lived in the U.S. Virgin Islands. I'm still licensed there, so far as I know.
Some of those islands actually have a lot of crime for the size of the island.
But I would think Turks and Caicos would be more like St. Bart's, where you just were, where it's very safe. But maybe I'm wrong.
Clay, the only crime in St. Bart's is wearing designer labels that are too ostentatious. They will throw you in prison if your Gucci logo is too big. I'm just saying.
If your wife's ring is too...
Not enough carrots?
Enough carrots. I think they might throw you in jail there.
It does offend their eyes when you are not wearing Loro Piana in public there.
I don't even know what that is.
There you go.
Never even heard of it. I'm not cool enough. I'm legit. I've never heard of that in my entire life.
Look, you want to make some money, go to the Caribbean? I got an idea. How about some insight about the U.S. stock market? Ask our friend Mark Chaykin, who writes and edits reports on the markets that cut through the noise and the nonsense and bring you great ideas. Mark worked on Wall Street for 50 years before focusing on this full time. He invented three new indices back in his Wall Street days for the NASDAQ, and he's predicted, in writing, some of the biggest market shifts of the past decade, including the recent huge surge in AI stocks. He says a lot of Americans could be missing out on a critical turning point in this AI-induced frenzy. Mark says this is a new dawn for U.S. stocks and predicts dozens of specific companies will be impacted in just the next 90 days' time. So Mark has agreed to share one of his favorite AI stocks to buy now with our listeners. He put everything in a new presentation you can watch for free at 2024AIStock.com. That's 2024AIStock.com, paid for by Chaykin Analytics. Why are people still on the fence about owning gold and silver? I just don't understand.
Have we already forgotten about regional bank closures, inflation, global instability, and the potential for serious world conflicts?
You can look to precious metals for various reasons. One, having tangible currency on hand as part of your bug out plan. Two, diversifying your portfolio as a hedge against inflation. And three, historically, gold increases in value over time.
You keep yourself informed about global events. You see the increase in conflicts around the globe. Countries are buying and hoarding massive amounts of gold. Why aren't you? It's time to pull the trigger with the Oxford Gold Group and buy gold and silver. Nobody can predict the future, but we can't put our head in the sand either.
The people with Oxford Gold Group are real pros. They make owning gold and silver simple and easy to understand. Call Oxford Gold Group right now and you may qualify for up to $10,000 in free precious metals.
Call 833-995-GOLD. That's 833-995-GOLD. One more time, 833-995-GOLD.
Protect your dream home with American Family Insurance. And you can weather any storm. You'll also save up to 25% by bundling home, auto, and life. American Family Insurance. Get a quote. Find an agent at AmFam.com.
Products not available in every state. Discounts may not apply to all coverages on an auto or home policy. Discounts do not apply to life insurance policies. Visit AmFam.com to learn how discounts may apply to you. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating companies, American Family Life Insurance Company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.
Hey, I'm Jay Shetty, and I'm the host of the On Purpose podcast. On Purpose is dedicated to helping you be happier, healthier, and more healed. This week, I talked to Orlando Bloom in a rare interview where we went deep into how he got comfortable with fear, navigating the changes in relationships, and how to change the guilt and shame thought pattern. This conversation shows a never-seen-before side to Orlando Bloom and his unique life journey.
I think we all struggle sometimes to really deeply believe that we are enough, that we're valued, that we're valuable. You know, we're imprinted by our parents from the age of 0 to 7, right? Mm. I'm constantly trying to go like, how do I detach from this idea of, is that my baggage? It doesn't look like my baggage. I mean, I know, okay, that's mine. Let's unpack that.
Listen to On Purpose with Jay Shetty on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Closing up shop on the Wednesday edition of the program. I want to play that audio that we just talked about, because I had no idea that there were these kind of significant penalties that could ensue if you went on a Caribbean vacation and happened to have in your bag left over, maybe some ammunition, maybe you were going to shoot somewhere. I believe it was 4 shells, basically, that they found in this guy's bag that were still there. No gun. But he's facing 12 years in prison now. Oklahoma City natives. This is the story that aired, I believe, on CBS News. The guy's still in Turks and Caicos. Listen.
Possessing a gun or ammunition is prohibited in Turks and Caicos. However, tourists were often able to pay a fine until a February court order mandating even tourists in the process of leaving the country be subject to prison time. Last September, the U.S. Embassy posted this travel alert online warning people to check your luggage for stray ammunition.
I can't even begin to think that this very innocent, regrettable mistake would prevent me from being able to, you know, watch my son graduate or teach him to shave or take my daughter to, dances.
A mistake that could land American tourists visiting an island paradise in a prison hell.
Did you know this at all? I had no knowledge of this whatsoever.
That you could be arrested.
You could
for this?
Like 12 years.
I didn't know how long. I know in other countries they're psychotic about this. There was a case that I made a big deal of as much as I could at the time. I didn't have the platform I do now. A guy in D.C. who was hunting in Virginia, and he had actually a defunct shotgun shell. Like, not defunct isn't the right word. It was basically a misfired shotgun shell. And they found that in a couple, no gun, and they were looking to lock him up for years in D.C. So the psycho lives because they hate guns, because guns actually represent freedom. They want criminals to have guns and don't punish the criminals too badly, because society, you know, people who shoot and murder people, that's society's fault. People who want to go duck hunting, they're evil and they vote Republican. That's really the baseline attitude. If we were a serious country, and I hope that there maybe are some, you know, State Department, Biden regime, State Department people that this will get, you know, that will come to this conclusion. If we were a serious country in back channel, we would have our State Department call Turks and Caicos and be like, look, you let this guy come home to America or no more Americans are going to Turks and Caicos. There are a lot of islands. End of story. It would destroy their economy in a week. And we're going to let them lock up an American on some garbage like this? Please. It'd be one thing if you had done something wrong or there was some... The facts are not in dispute. It was an accident. But if we were a serious country, we would do that. But because it involves firearms, I don't know.
I would be tempted to figure out a way to get... If I were him, just to get on a boat and get out of Turks and Caicos and never go there again. Right? I mean, I don't think...
Do you think we would extradite him? Or do you think the Biden regime would extradite him?
I didn't even think about the idea. That's actually a great question. Maybe they would send him back. You may be right. You may be right. They might send him back because of his shotgun shells that were in his bag, which somehow didn't get noticed when he flew there. Remember? I mean, he had to go theoretically through American TSA security and nobody notices. And then he gets caught trying to come back. I mean, that's awful. That's a dad... Oklahoma City story. I would hope that the governor, senator,
some of the senators, we got senators listening. Can some of the senators here, you know, Foreign Relations Committee, can you step up, please? Do something on this. Let's get this dad home. I'd love to believe that they're going to get him home soon here. There's no crime. There's no ill intent. There's no damage. You know, he's not the criminal that their laws are trying to deal with. But again, Clay, can't trust the system these days, man. Can't trust it.
Common sense, not very common in many different parts of the United States and the world. Unfortunately, back tomorrow.
Clay Travis and Buck Sexton on the front lines of truth.
Hi, I'm Michael Rappaport.
And I'm Kibi Rappaport.
And together we're hosting Rappaport's Reality Podcast.
We have a passion for reality TV, and we're inviting you into our living room.
We're dissecting the drama, and we're giving praise to the single greatest form of entertainment on television today. That is right.
Reality TV is the greatest form of entertainment on television today.
Listen to Rappaport's Reality with me, Kibi Rappaport.
And me, Michael Rappaport, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty. We're the Armstrong and Getty Show.
We cover the stories the mainstream media ignores. The
stories that are important to your life and important to the world.
The election, of course.
The many trials of Donald Trump.
Couple of wars.
Gender-bending madness.
Why are kids looking at so much social media?
And we bring you the stories the mainstream media is on.
But we do it without the left-wing media spin.
Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on America's number one podcast network, iHeart.
Open your free iHeart app and search the Armstrong and Getty Show to start listening.
More Than a Movie is back with Season 2. I'm your host, Alex Fumero. And each week, I'm going to talk to the people behind your favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Listen to More Than a Movie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.